And now, When Radio Was. Brought to you by RadioSpirits.com.
I'm Greg Bell, and we'll open with Brett Halliday's private eye, Michael Shane. Then after that, it's our weekly visit with Chandu, the magician. In a later series, Shane was voiced by Jeff Chandler, and his character plied his trade in New Orleans. But we have the original, taking place instead on the West Coast. It stars Wally Mayer, with Kathy Lewis as Phyllis Knight. It's from January 14th of 1947.
Michael Shane, you must have some idea why Judge Thorman wants to see you.
Honey, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, I received a letter signed by those men who head Judge Thorman's campaign committee. Mm-hmm. It told me literally nothing, darling, all of which I was warned to keep hush-hush.
Oh, confidential stuff, huh?
Mm-hmm, very. I'm requested to appear at Judge Thorman's home at 7 o'clock tonight. I don't know why, darling. That's all the note had to say.
Oh, well, it's about 4:15 now.
Uh-huh. Which means you must curb your curiosity for 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh, then I'm going?
Well, it's not your company I love, sugar. It's your shorthand.
Well, I'm glad to know something about me attracts you. Michael, do you know Judge Thorman?
No.
Oh. Well, then Judge Thorman must know you. Otherwise, why should he...
Take it easy, will you, baby? Please, we'll know at 7 o'clock tonight.
The Hastings Manufacturing Company and the Quayside Corporation present Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. At approximately the same time, Shane and his blonde assistant, Phyllis Knight, are discussing the mysterious note summoning Shane to Judge Thorman's home at 7 o'clock, mysterious events are shaping themselves in Judge Thorman's study. The judge is conversing with one of his committee men. Eating at the club tonight, Judge?
As usual, but not until after the meeting. By the way, has this Michael Shane fellow been contacted?
Yes, a note was sent asking to him to be here tonight at 7.
Oh, good. He comes highly recommended.
Yes.
If I didn't know you were one of my best friends, I'd say you didn't particularly care whether we ever find out who's making these silly telephone threats against my life.
I was just thinking of this Michael Shane fellow. I don't think he'll be much help.
Well, Inspector Coyle and Chief Randall assured me he was as capable an investigator as we
no
could
doubt.
Find.
I'm afraid Shane will be too late.
What the devil are you...
I made those calls, Judge.
You? What sort of stupid joke is this?
It's neither stupid nor a joke, my dear Judge. Do you remember Carlton Winters?
Winters? Well, yes, Carlton Winters, a forger. I sentenced him 16 years ago, it was. What of it?
You won't know my face, Judge. But look at the hatred in my eyes, and you'll see Carlton Winters.
But you're...
You've known me as your friend for 10 years. Yes, it's taken me 10 years to ready myself for this moment. These hands you felt so sorry about. I deliberately crippled them so that I could be that much surer of my revenge. This face...
Yes, I see it now.
You'll see the man you sent away for forgery. The man whose wife later divorced him and married Paul Redfern. You took everything from me.
You were guilty.
That makes little difference. You enabled Paul Redfern to take Estelle from me. I vowed I'd pay you off, remember? It'll be over quickly, Judge, quickly. The suicide note is ready. I have your own gun.
Suicide?
Only to outward appearances, Judge. It'll really be murder.
Get that gun away from my head, you fool!
No, Judge. Not when I've waited 10 years for this.
All right, let's go over the facts, Inspector. Phil, take notes, please.
All right. And incidentally, I copied those statements from Detective Johnson's notes, Mike.
Oh, fine, fine, thanks. Well, Inspector?
Well, Judge's wife, dead 5 years. The married couple acted as Judge Thorman's cook and body servant. This the day off. Checked, and they've been at a relative's home all day. Usually on Wednesdays, the judge had dinner at his club. Missed tonight, as there was to be a meeting here at 7.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. Something about tracing crank calls. Say, these three men on the committee, there was Thomas Charles Hart...
Yes, he's a retired businessman from the East.
Oh.
Horace Epperly, big construction man. Paul Redfern, ex-prosecutor.
Incidentally, all three of their alibis aren't worthy of the name. Not one of them can prove where he was between 4 and 5.
Well, now go easy there, Shane. They're all big men. It's suicide.
Yeah, so the note says, but I still don't believe it. Mr. Epperly found the body, huh?
Yeah, about 6:30. Came in when he found the door open.
Open? Open or unlocked, Inspector?
Oh, sorry, unlocked.
Oh, uh-huh.
Now, look, Shane, let's not make a mystery out of this yet. The judge's big people, and I'm here only to make sure there was nothing funny.
Well, that's excuse enough to look around. The gun has a corrugated handle, so that eliminates fingerprints, right?
Right. But there are powder burns on the right temple, and the bullet ranged slightly upward. That and the note stack up to suicide.
Yeah, but that note. How does it read again?
Just a moment. Here you are. My guilt hangs heavy on my mind. I can no longer face my friends. Some years ago, I sent an innocent man to prison.
Wait a second. Give me that line again, Inspector.
Some years ago, I sent an innocent man to prison.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Handwriting been identified?
Yeah. By Hart, Epperly, and Redfern.
You know, for a fellow of the judge's caliber, it's pretty dramatic stuff.
Well, people hopped up to suicide are psychodramatic. What's odd about putting the neurosis on paper?
It makes bad reading, that's all.
Oh, Inspector.
Oh, come in, gentlemen.
Thank you. Glad to find you still here.
We've agreed this terrible thing must be kept quiet as long as possible.
Gentlemen, this is Michael Shane and Miss Knight. Mr. Hart, Epperly, Redfern.
How do you do?
About keeping this affair quiet, Inspector.
Well, perhaps for a day or two.
We haven't much chance to keep the facts covered up.
Gentlemen, please, may I ask, did any of you know about the judge's suicide desire?
He never discussed such a thing with any of us.
But all the evidence points to suicide, Mr. Shane.
Yes, if we can believe that note, but I'm not so sure.
Then you're thinking it might have been murder?
That's what we're going to find out. In the meantime, Inspector, I want to run out and have a little talk with Joey Peller.
Yeah, good idea.
Peller? Peller, isn't he the man with a remarkable memory?
Yes, Mr. Redfern. And I want him to jog my memory.
Yes, yes, what do you want?
Mr. Peller?
Yes, who are you?
The friend of Michael Shane.
Oh, come in. Take a chair. Sit down. Don't mind if I squat here in this rocker. Easy on my back.
Not at all. I'll stand because I can only stay a moment. Mr. Shane suggested I see you. I want some information.
Yeah, what do you want to know?
Mr. Peller, do you recall a rather sensational case about 16 years ago? When Judge Thorman sentenced a forger, Carlton Winters.
Thorman sentenced a forger. Winters, let me see. Yep. Mm-hmm. Quiet and uproar. I think I recollect that Winters sentenced Judge Thorman life. Yes, and Redfern, too. He was the prosecutor.
Very good. Anything else, Mr. Peller?
Let me think. Yes, I do. Never heard anything more about Winters, but I think he was killed or died in an accident in Chicago. I got it.
What, Mr. Peller?
About 3 years after Winters was sent up, his wife, Estelle was her name, I think, but she divorced him, and believe it or not, she married Paul Redfern. Yep, and Redfern retired from public office right after that.
You've been a big help, Mr. Peller.
I'm always glad to help Shane's friend. Anything else, Mr.? What's your name?
You won't need it, Peller.
What you doing with that knife?
You know too much, Mr. Peller.
You're listening to Michael Shane on When Radio Was. We'll be right back after this. And now, let's get back to this Michael Shane episode on When Radio Was.
Now back to Michael Shane, private detective. It seems that Shane had decided on a step in the right direction when he decided to have Joey Peller jog his memory. But it also seems somebody is just one step ahead of Shane. Shane and Phyllis Knight arrived at Peller's home only to find the man with the remarkable memory stretched out on the floor with very little of either life or memory left. Now at police hospital, a tense group waits at Joey Peller's bedside.
How is he, Doctor? Well, he has a chance, but it's slim. Coming out of it again. Keeps going in and out of a coma.
Joey, Joey Pella.
Yes.
Joey, this is Mike Shane.
Shane? Nice friends you got.
What? Nice friends?
Michael, whoever tried to kill you must have used your name.
Is that what happened, Joey?
Didn't know him, though.
Joey, take it easy. Listen. Do you remember anything about a Judge Thorman case?
Yeah. That's what the guy wanted to know. Told him Redford prosecutor said a forger. Called him witness. When just died, she called him. Threatened to get Thorman.
Joey. Joey.
Sorry, Inspector. He's gone out again.
Oh, poor little guy.
Stay with him, Johnson. Catch anything he mumbles, call me on it right away. Let the newspaper say Peller's dead. That'll protect him.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good idea.
It's a great night. A little over 3 hours, one dead, one well on the way.
Look, Inspector, Mr. Hart, Epperly, and Redfern knew I was on my way to talk to Peller. They've got a few questions to answer.
Well, I know what you mean, Shane, but they're big men, and we've got to be right.
Yes, but... Well, now, look. We've got to get every police record on this Carlton Winters. Samples of his handwriting, his fingerprint record.
According to Penner, the guy's dead.
Well, let's check Chicago and make sure he's dead.
Well, let's get on it right away.
Well, you take that end of it, Inspector. I want to talk to Paul Redfern. I'll be at his home.
What's the time?
About 10, Paul. Gives us time to check up on our theory at Peller's place. Then get back to your home by 11 to meet the others.
Well, just what is this theory you've got on Peller's death?
I'm positive someone was interested in silencing Peller before the Shane fellow could get to him.
Yes, but what do you expect to learn at Peller's place? Hey, wait a minute.
What?
How'd you find out Peller was killed?
Shane got in touch with me.
Oh. Well, who does he think is guilty?
He thinks it's one of us.
Us? Are you serious, Hart?
Yes, Redfern. And I'm also Carlton Winters.
You're... What did you say?
I said I'm Carlton Winters. And I'm going to kill you.
Kill me?
Just keeping a promise I made you long ago, in court.
But Winters died in Chicago.
No, he didn't. Steady up a wheel. Don't take your eyes off the road.
Then you killed Judge...
Yes, I killed him. Now it's your turn to be a suicide. Then can you guess who follows you?
You mean my wife?
Yes, Redfern, Estelle.
They'll get you.
If they do, it'll be too late.
How am I to die?
Oh, it's rather simple. The hairpin turn is up ahead. We'll soon be on it. You're going to drive straight through the guardrail and down into the canyon.
You can't force me to do that.
You'll have nothing to say about it, Redfern. You'll be dead before you take the plunge.
I'll crash the car first.
You thought of that too late. I'm ready now.
My head!
Now, hold wheel steady. Steady. Get the door open.
Now.
Feet down. In flames. A fitting tribute to you, Mr. Redfern.
I'm terribly worried, Mr. Shane.
No, I wouldn't let it get you down, Mrs. Redfern.
But he's always so punctual, so thoughtful. Naturally, he was quite upset when he came home with the terrible news of Judge Thorman's suicide. He left again, but he promised he'd be home no later than 10. 10:45 now, and he hasn't even called.
Don't worry, Mrs. Redfern. I'm sure he'll be coming home any minute now.
So I hope so. Somehow I'm terribly nervous.
Mrs. Redfern, I'd like to ask you several questions.
Yes?
Well, first, have you ever heard your husband speak of a man named Carlton Winters?
Carlton Winters?
Yes, Mrs. Redfern. Name seems to surprise you.
Well, I'm not sure why, but it did surprise me.
Winters was prosecuted by your husband and sentenced by Judge Thorman about 16 years ago.
Yes?
Well, Winters was supposed to have died in Chicago. An accidental fire in a doctor's office.
Yes, that's why I showed some surprise, I'm sure. I remember Paul telling me Winters had died in Chicago.
Must have been rather important, Winters' death, I mean, for you to have remembered, Mrs. Redfern.
It was important this night. You see, Carlton Winters had threatened the lives of Judge Thorman and my husband. I was glad to know the man was dead.
And that's all you can tell us, Mrs. Redmond?
That's all, Mr. Shane. May I ask if your questions concern only Judge Thorman's death?
Well, yes, they do.
But Paul said the judge had committed suicide.
The pattern has changed. We're not convinced of that now, and we need all the information we can get.
So if you know something you feel Mr. Shane should know, please tell him, Mrs. Redmond.
No, there's nothing more I could tell.
I'm going to be brutally frank, Mrs. Redfern. You're withholding something.
Mr. Shane, that's my door. Would you excuse me, please?
Michael, do you really think she's holding back something?
I'm positive she is, honey.
Do you really think it's one of the three men?
Well, I'd be a lot surer if I knew what the inspector found out about their alibis, about the handwriting. Any one of them could be our men.
Which one?
Take your pick, sugar.
I'll take you.
And what would you do if I... Oh, Mrs. Redfern.
Mr. Shane, Miss Knight, this is Mr. Hart, Mr. Effie.
Yes, we met earlier this evening.
They have come here to meet Paul. They would have a meeting here at 11 o'clock.
Oh? Why a meeting?
Well, to discuss what should be done about the party policy now that Judge Thorman is dead. There's quite a bit to be settled.
Mm-hmm. Have either of you gentlemen had a talk with Inspector Coyle since 10 o'clock tonight?
No, why, Shane?
Well, he wants to see you, both of you. There are new developments in the case.
What developments?
Well, you recall that I mentioned at Thorman's home I was going to have my memory jogged by Joey Pella?
Oh, yes. What about it?
Well, you, Mr. Hart, and Mr. Epperly, plus Redfern, who isn't present at the moment, overheard my statement.
Well, get to the point, Shane. What are you driving at?
Murder, Mr. Hart. Joey Pella had his wonderful memory removed by a killer's surgery tonight.
Are you insinuating that any one of us had anything...
Keep your shirt on, Mr. Epperly. I insinuate nothing. I'm merely explaining why the inspector wants to talk with all of you and find out where you've all been hiding out this evening.
Hiding out? I'm not hiding out. I'll go where I please, when I please.
Could I fix you some coffee? It'll give me something to do, and perhaps by then Paul will be home.
Yes, that's a splendid idea, and I'll help if I may.
Well, please do. Come along.
Now, look, gentlemen. Let's check these facts quickly while the ladies are fixing the coffee. Thorman is a suicide, which I still don't believe. Joey Pella is stabbed. Now, we have information that Carlton Winters might be our man if he hadn't died in Chicago some years ago. But we're getting samples of his handwriting and police record. Perhaps it may count up to something.
But what good would anything be if Winters is dead?
No good at all if he's dead. And I'm not convinced of that.
Oh, no!
Michael.
Yes?
Please, come quickly.
What's wrong, Phil?
Just come along, please, and alone.
Right. Wait here, gentlemen, please.
Michael, we started out through the hall to the kitchen, and here, right here on this hall table, was a note. Here's the note. Mrs. Redfern read it, and, well, you heard her reaction.
Where's she now?
She's sitting in the kitchen just staring. Read the note, Michael. You'll understand.
Estelle, darling, by the time you find this note, it will be too late to stop me. I've tried to fight... Oh, no!
Michael, this is terrible. She nodded yes when I asked her if this was her husband's handwriting.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Oh, I'll take that on this hall extension. Now, look, honey, go back to Mrs. Redfern and don't let anybody even try to talk to
Hurry
her.
Hurry up, Mike.
Okay. Hello?
Hello, that you, Shane?
Oh, yes, Inspector.
Still want to talk to Paul Redfern?
And how I do?
Better forget it. His car went over Cliff Road into the canyon in flames.
What?
He's on a slab in the morgue.
Oh, this is a fine mess now. His wife's hysterical. She just read his suicide note.
On another one?
Yes, and just as phony as the judge's. Look, Inspector, look. Tell the coroner to go over the body very carefully. I'll be right there.
Right. Hurry it up.
Phil? Phil, can I see you a minute?
Yes. I'll be right back.
Now listen. And listen fast, honey, and make it stick. Redfern's dead.
Oh, dear. Oh, Mike. Then he meant that note.
I don't know. I only know he's dead. He crashed his car. Now, I'm taking this note and sticking it at headquarters until we know as much as possible.
Well, what about her?
Honey, I want you to stay with her. Don't leave her for a minute, and don't tell her he's dead. I'll call you later or pick you up.
All right. But I think you should know this, Michael.
What?
I'm positive that note wasn't on the hall table when we came in.
Good work, honey. Good work. Our pigeon is in there in the drawing room.
Are they staying here?
Oh, no, no, sweetheart. No, I'm going to convince them to visit headquarters. Well, how did our guests take the stay here, Inspector?
Unhappily. The
they were jittery enough to be gentlemen about it, especially since they found out Redfern is dead. He left about 5 minutes ago.
Oh. How about Winter's old samples of handwriting? Check with any of the ones on the signatures on my note?
Yeah, I just got the dope on that. The man says there's no question about it. We need more, though, Michael.
Yeah? Well, I think we can get it now.
Oh, hello, Doc.
Hiya.
Well, what's the verdict?
Well, I almost missed it. Something very thin punctured Redfern's eardrum. Went right into the brain, like a long steel sliver.
But, Doc, if it was a steel sliver, who got rid of it? You?
No. I couldn't find the sliver, so I decided it was maybe like a hat pin. Yeah, he was killed, all right.
He was plenty burned and cracked up.
So you'd be if you fell 200 feet in a flaming car, but he was very dead before he hit.
No evidence of fire in the lungs, huh?
Not a scorch. He wasn't beating or breathing when he crashed.
Then it's murder.
You've got your verdict, Inspector. Autopsy. Hello. Oh, yeah, just a minute. See you, Inspector.
Oh, morning, sir. Inspector Coyle speaking. Yeah, Johnson? What did he say? That's really something. Good work. Stay with him. So long.
More from Peller?
Plenty. A bombshell. Estelle Redfern divorced Carlton Winters after he went to the pen and married Paul Redfern.
Uh-oh. Oh, that's bad. Epperly and Hart have just been released, haven't they?
Well, we couldn't hold them.
Oh, that crazy woman withholding information. Inspector, she's in danger.
At 2:30 in the morning?
Look, if my guess is right, our man is on a killing spree. His schedule calls for crowding it all into one night.
Yeah, could be. Norman, Peller, Redfern.
And next, and logically, the woman who divorced him and married the man that prosecuted him. Look, let me get going ahead of you and your men. Call Phil and have her set it up like this. We'll save the standard.
Now back to Michael Shane and the trap set for a revenge-crazy killer. It's about 3:15 a.m. The huge Redfern mansion is wrapped in the eerie glow from a thin sliver of moon. In the shadows of the porch, two men move softly, furtively.
Wait. Think it's right for us to snoop around Redford's house like this, especially with Estelle so upset?
Oh, relax, Eppley. It's only decent to see that she's all right. After all, you yourself were worried about her while we were held at headquarters.
Well, let's get it over and get out of here.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Let's try these French windows.
I still don't think this is a good idea. If we make a noise and waken Estelle, she'll be scared out of her wits.
If we find she's all right, we'll go out as quietly as we can. Oh, come on. This window's unlocked.
That's not so good.
Oh. I'm beginning to believe that Shane fellow now. There's a killer loose, Emily.
Shall I turn on this light?
No lights. Keep it dark.
Now that we're in, what do we do?
First, go through the entire downstairs. You take the east wing, I'll take this west side.
Well, what are we looking for?
We're making sure everything's all right. Check every door and window. See that they're locked. Go right through and I'll meet you in the back hall.
That's simple enough.
If everything's all right downstairs, we'll check the upstairs. Then leave.
All right. But I still don't like the idea.
Take it easy. Don't fall over the furniture.
I won't guarantee it.
Now, to get upstairs quickly and arrange for Estelle's suicide while my perfect alibi searches downstairs. Now, my lovely Estelle, we settle accounts.
And again. And so ends this night. Who turned on those lights?
Sorry, chum, the night has ended, and so are you.
Shane!
Yeah. We didn't find out until after you left police headquarters tonight that Estelle was once the wife of Carlton Winters. So we figured Estelle was next on the list.
Oh, so you got it all figured out.
Do you think we intended to let you get Estelle? Oh, no, no, no. We preferred to have you kill off that dressmaker's mannequin under the bed covers.
Dressmaker's mannequin?
Drop Shane, that knife. Drop that knife, I said.
I'll kill you.
Drop it. Easy, you crazy idiot. I don't want to shoot you.
Stop it, Hart. I'll shoot.
Not until I...
Oh, thanks, Inspector.
Michael?
Thanks.
Michael.
Oh.
Michael, what's wrong?
Not a thing, honey. Huh? Not a thing.
Michael. Oh. He's hurt, Inspector.
Easy, Phil. Easy now. We'll take care of him.
Well, the invalid is back. Welcome home, darling.
Thanks. I never liked this office, but it sure looks awfully good now.
I'll bet. The inspector left this report for you. Copy.
Hmm? Well, Hart's deathbed confession, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's all here. You know, we could have stopped Redfern's killing if we had old samples of Winter's handwriting to match his signature on the note the committee sent to me.
Well, you couldn't do any more, Michael.
Yeah, it only proves what I contend, darling. There's a flaw in every human being.
I'd say Winters or Hart was insanely perfect.
Almost, but not quite. You see, honey, when a man decides to change his identity, he must change everything, even his own handwriting.
Well, now that you think the office looks good, you might say, Precious, you look good.
Oh, well, Precious, you do look good. Very good.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome, darling.
You know, Michael, you ought to get stabbed more often.
Michael Shane, Private Detective, stars Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis, with Bill Johnstone as the inspector. Tonight's story was directed by Michael Raffetto, written by Alan Cameron, and based on the character created by Brett Halliday. The music was composed and played by Len Salvo. This is Charles Arlington speaking.
Judge Thorman is shot. An episode of Michael Shane, Private Detective, from January 14th of 1947. I'm Greg Bell, and next on Win Radio was our weekly visit with Chandu, the magician. We'll be right back.